Why so serious?
All the toys, all the time.
I am the game, and still getting trying to play you.
You know the rules. This isn't a toy.
But we bought it at the toy store.
We did, but the way I'm using it makes it an adult thing.
Are you ready to play the game?
Yeah! Welcome to the Toy Department with Matt Kolsky and Derek Madden.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, welcome in to the Toy Department. I'm Derek Madden. He's Matt Kolsky. How are you, sir?
Good. Good. It's a crazy, crazy, crazy sports time, and I'm having fun.
It is a crazy, crazy sports time. There's like a million things going on.
And that's so rare for like end of July, beginning of August, right? This is usually the absolute downtime, but between incredibly active, slightly oddly timed NBA draft and offseason, and then the Major League Baseball trade deadline, and now the Olympics going on, obviously, it is tons of action.
Yeah. So I'm sure it's keeping you busy. Certainly keeping me busy. And I don't do it professionally.
Yeah, but I mean, it does keep me somewhat busy watching a lot of stuff, but that's like a good busy. And, you know, I mean, the show's 4 hours, no matter how much stuff is going on. So, like, it's really just good to have a ton of content in a normal downtime.
It's better there be stuff than not stuff, for sure.
Absolutely.
And the Olympics have been just dropping narratives left and right. Interesting to see, although I don't know, I still don't know that many people are all invested in it, you know what I mean?
Perhaps.
But I am, so I'm ready to
damn
roll with
right.
that.
Damn right. Damn right. You're invested, even if our women's soccer team is not.
You know, I woke up at 3 a.m. to watch that.
I know, that's why I brought it up.
Yeah.
On the bright side, you stayed up late the night before watching a pretty awesome Gold Cup final.
Yeah, yeah. So it didn't totally dampen my mood, but you know that's a quick turnaround, man. That game ended at like almost nearly 11. You know what I mean? And the next one started at 3, so there was not a lot of time to get some Z's in the middle. And then to wake up and watch the U.S. team essentially sleepwalk.
The women's U.S. team.
Yes, the women's U.S. team sleepwalk. That was not a delight.
And you know, we went over this at the time that we watched it, and we both support the women's soccer team and think they should just get what they want, and that would be the easiest answer for everybody. But not great timing, given your propaganda documentary. Not great timing for the losing.
it was not great timing. Although, I mean, they did make the point of like we have to be perfect, and I guess that drives that home. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, but I mean. I guess I reject the notion that people are so nice to the men's team when they're not good. You know what I mean? Like, having to be perfect to receive praise is kind of a difficult part of being a professional athlete.
Yeah, ask Simone Biles about that.
Exactly. Uh-huh. Like, that goes across the industry, and it's not just you.
Yeah, for sure. And I think it's going to be interesting to see, because I think there are – absolutely some questions that you can ask of the manager of that team. And you know, the U.S. women's team has been such a feel-good story,
that
I'll be curious to see if those questions do get asked and what the expectations are for this team, because for a team with that level of attacking talent to go scoreless in 3 out of 5 matches in a tournament is just like
embarrassing.
You know, win or lose, that should not happen. And I realized they no one really tried in the Australia game. It seemed like they had a ladies' agreement, if you will. But still, that's just you can't do that. So
no, it's again, it's embarrassing. It's a bad look. And look, I mean, tell me if you think this is incorrect. From a talent disparity standpoint, they're not so different from men's basketball. Like, the world is better. But you're still the best by a lot, talent-wise. Yeah. So there's really no excuse.
Women's basketball, too, if you've been watching these Olympics. It's same deal. Yeah.
Yeah. There's really no excuse. Like, look, I'm on a radio show where one of my co-hosts screamed at the men's basketball team for losing exhibition games. So again, this is not a standard that women are being held to and men are not. It's a standard that professional athletes, particularly Olympic athletes with a huge talent advantage, are held to. And I'm not sure that's inappropriate, even if it's obnoxious sometimes.
Yeah. We should also mention in regards to the whole documentary situation that the men's team filed a brief in court in the women's case, saying that the women should get paid more than them.
Right.
And that was pretty strident. So good on the men for that. I thought it was cool.
Shout out dudes.
Yeah, we don't get to shout out dudes too often on the show. All right, we should do a little housekeeping before we get into to next week's stuff, right? So we're going to move to Thursdays for a while on the show, right? There's a new season of The Challenge coming. So we're going to do some challenge heavy stuff at the start of shows for a while, and yes. And then cover some pop culture on the back end.
That's challenge heavy. And listen, if you own a podcast network, holler at us because our challenge services are available.
Yes, yeah, we are challenge free agents. You know, we have some. Our mouths are contractually obligated in some ways, but not talking about the challenge. So
we're looking to slide through the challenge loophole. Bring us on board.
Indeed, indeed, indeed. It's fun. We were just talking about the show. We're actually competing because I'm on the air in San Francisco for a while.
Calm down. So don't let people behind the curtain.
That's right. If you're in the Bay.
95.7 The Game. Don't touch that dial.
Or you could just slide it over 12 numbers. Exactly.
All right. What do we got to talk about today?
All right, let's jump into some pop culture. We've got you want to start with Behind the Music, because I don't know how we need to get super in depth. You only watched one of these, right? I watched two.
Of the Behind the Music.
Yeah, the Behind the Music revival.
Yeah. Is revival the right word, or is it more like a repurposing?
I think that's a fair question to ask. Revival, rehash, whatever, you know.
Because I would say, like, in the first 8 to 12 minutes of the Ricky Martin Behind the Music rehash, I was like, oh, cool. We're getting, you know, a little bit of old footage and some really good new Ricky Martin interviews. And then the entire middle, and by middle I mean like the 80% between the very beginning and the very end, was just Behind the Music from 2011.
Which I did not remember. Did you remember that Ricky Martin? I mean, I knew, if you just said to me, did they cover Ricky Martin? I was like, yeah, but I didn't remember watching it. I don't know.
It was not a classic like a Def Leppard or something, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and yet, even though I didn't remember it, I found myself deeply not caring. Like, if you don't even have the time to put more than 20% new footage in this thing, what are we doing? I actually think Ricky Martin's fascinating. I would have loved to hear him react to the 2011 one more. But either they couldn't get that from him or they didn't try. And either way, I don't know what the purpose of this is. And I didn't feel like watching another one.
I think you could make a case that it could be interesting to recontextualize some of these old Behind the Music, right? If you know, the central struggle, right? The interesting thing about Ricky Martin, beyond the fact that he was kind of a, you know, something of a pioneering global superstar, is his struggle to come out, right? That there were rumors about being gay. Obviously he was gay, but he was, you know, kind of trying to hide it. And, you know, the toll that takes on a person, I could see the idea of, hey, maybe this is interesting and maybe we could look, but the show doesn't really do that, and I think part of the problem is also that in terms of like, a dramatic struggle about a protagonist, like, you know, like he was really living this life, like burying this secret. And then eventually he feels comfortable enough to unburden himself of the secret. And the, you know, reality after that for him is that everything is fine. Right. So it's like, it's not.
Hold on. Everything is awesome.
Yeah. Like it's. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, great. So, like, I should have done this years ago. And it's like, yeah, you probably should have. You know what I mean?
Well, that's the thing is, like, he says that, right? And that's totally unexamined. Like, examine that.
Yeah, that's exactly
should
what I mean.
Should he have? I don't know. Would it have gone as well 10 years earlier? I'm not sure. Like, there's a lot in there, but they didn't do that. They didn't do anything. Like, it's just so much. This was the vast majority of this was just watching a show from 10 years ago where the main takeaway is, God, the clarity of television pictures come a long way.
that part is absolutely true.
And I guess the other thing in fairness is that guy's got some jams, dog. I mean, it's not my kind of music necessarily, but like.
I don't know that I'm going to concede that.
Don't tell me. Come on. You can't tell me you weren't bouncing on the couch a little bit. Inside out. And you were like, yeah. Ooh, I forgot. Interesting. A
cup of life, I'll give you.
cup of life.
Yeah, I'll give you that one. But I do think that, like, yeah, all right, I guess I can see how he really paved the way for, the J Balvins and Bad Bunny is in this one.
I actually thought Bad Bunny's interviews were arguably the best part of this, thing.
Yeah, although it seems like they just, right, because Eminem sort of prefer, you didn't watch the second, the LL Cool J one, but Eminem's kind of the bad boy.
Right, they just pick
bad
guy. Bunny.
Right, they just pick a guy, and it's a guy who clearly sort of has a relationship with the person in some way, right, who's like has some current cultural currency, and they vouch for him. You know, LL and Eminem are like serious buddies. Serious satellite radio buddies, I guess. So, he sort of vouches for LL in that one. Behind the music was always, right, like you needed the participation of the artist, right? So it was always a little bit of, what I believe you call it, hagiography is the term for that, right? You know, where like these guys are all kind of writing their own legacy. It's going to be from the perspective of the band. That was always sort of a part of it, but I feel like they really like, it never felt quite so infomercially, as these ones do. And like, particularly when they're talking about the latter half of his career, where they sort of make it sound like, Ricky deliberately walked away to like work on himself and do yoga, and that's why you didn't hear from him for, 10 years, even though they also, occasionally kind of mention, oh, yeah, he was putting out music during that time. So it wasn't like he really walked away. And then, sort of just reemerged at the Grammys. I don't know. Maybe it's a coincidence that, like, the redemptive arc for both Ricky Martin and LL Cool J, who were the two episodes that I watched, was, reappearing at the Grammys and being honored. And the Grammys are also a CBS property.
Man,
this is Paramount Plus, and LL Cool J is a star in one of the big shows on CBS. You know what I mean? Right. Like, I don't know. It just it all felt a little synergy. You know what I mean to me?
Oh, synergy is a nice word. I would have said circle jerk.
Yeah. No, I was trying to be nice.
It's just. And again, if it felt, see, here's how I look at these things, right? If the content's good, circle jerk away. I don't care. If you're also making a bunch of money and promoting yourself, if it's good, great. If it's like, we interviewed Ricky Martin for 10 minutes to slap a new face on an old show so we could pump our products, then it's kind of like, you know what? No thanks.
I really thought that the house that he was in was like a Zoom background for a while. I think eventually I was like, oh, no, it's a real house.
Yeah, well, eventually they had a bunch of people over, right?
Yeah. And LL is just interviewed against some weird background. So it seemed like, man, I don't know, like they just sort of threw some of these things together.
Like they got him in breaks on set for CSI, whichever the fuck. I don't know. Yeah. The whole thing, whatever.
Did you make anything of the fact that it was MTV's behind the music? I thought that was a little weird.
Other than like they're trying to erase the brand VH1 from the world? No.
So, yeah, this is another thing I noticed because I saw a commercial in something else for, you know, they're bringing Wild and Out back.
Yeah.
But and it says MTV's Wild and Out, but it's airing on VH1. So maybe it's all just a big corporate circle jerk. I don't know.
I mean, I think it's probably like VH1's going to be renamed MTV Hits or something they haven't used yet. MTV.
I think it's just going to be MTV Old. I think that's right. What they're doing. Like they're just supporting, you know what I mean? Like depending right. on the age of things.
MTV Retro.
Yeah, MTV Retro. That's what. I mean, obviously they wouldn't call it MTV Old, but you know what I mean.
MTV Throwback.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I just feel like, look, I don't resent Viacom or Paramount or whatever the hell it is for you know, doing their synergistic stuff. And
no, again, and just like if the content's good, fine. I don't care. Like that, honestly, this is something I've thought about a lot because of my deep, deep, deep hate of commercials. Like, I'd rather you product place and circle jerk than waste my time with 30-second ads for 5 minutes, right?
Yeah.
That's, I'm fine with it. I get it. Like, the money has to get made somehow. But just don't make it bad. Like, it's,
yeah. Do it more artfully. That's all I'm asking. You can synergize all you want, but, like, don't devalue these properties. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, do work. Do the work, you know? It's not a good sign. Look, I don't think that, you know, I think that maybe putting these two first also was maybe not the best move. Like, if you were asking me, like, which of these stories would be the most compelling, LL and Ricky Martin are not the two that I would necessarily pick.
Well, what they share, ironically, is that all the most interesting stuff happened before they did the original episode.
Yeah.
So maybe that was the goal. But again, that begs the question of why bother doing this if you're going to do it half-ass?
Yeah. Like, why pick these guys? I don't know. I just I'm sad because now I don't know that I want to watch any more. And I love Behind the Music, so or maybe I should say that in the past tense. I loved Behind the Music,
right?
And that's totally a bummer for me.
That is, I agree that it's a bummer, no doubt.
All right, anything else you want to add about that, or should we move on?
I think we can move on.
Let's talk about Good on Paper.
Yes, I am very interested to hear where you stand on this.
Where do I stand on this? I had an interesting time watching this. You know, it made me laugh.
Yeah.
It made me slightly more interested in, Ilse Schlesinger.
Eliza. Did I say that
right? Eliza? Yeah. Okay.
Have you never watched her stand up?
No.
Oh, she's pretty
funny. Not really familiar with her work.
I'm a fan.
So I would, this would make me inclined to maybe watch some of her stand-up. Obviously, there are some stand-up clips in the movie. She's, I think, an interesting presence. Not a great actress.
No.
So convincing playing a not great actress.
Right.
For sure. I don't know that I would say that this was a great movie. And it's interesting because I feel like it kind of works some of the same ground that like Promising Young Woman does, but it's just a much more, you know, you can just tell it's so much less artful in its,
well, it's less ambitious.
Yeah. And less ambitious. That's also true.
I don't know if less artful is a criticism I'd bother with, because I don't know that artful is something this movie is attempting in any way. Right.
I would say less skilled maybe is a better way to say that.
Yeah, that's fair. But I think fundamentally this is built like a rom-com with a sort of dark. I mean, the reason you're comparing it to Promising Young Woman in large part is that it takes a vaguely similar sort of dark turn in terms of the nice guy not being a nice guy after all. Although it's much easier.
Not being a nice guy, like kind of being a psychotic. You know
totally
what I mean?
Being totally being dangerous. And in fact, I would argue, like, it's not as much of a surprise based on the character that they develop for him. And I do love Ryan Hansen.
The whole way through this.
Right. But I think that's sort of the point. And I think it's a, in that way, I mean, I think if we hadn't seen Promising Young Woman a few months ago or whatever, I think it might feel like a more clever subversion of the rom-com.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
But I do think it's like a moderately clever and pretty entertaining subversion of a rom-com, right? I mean, for a you know, Sunday night Netflix watch, this is pretty good.
Yeah, like I think pretty good is fair. I also love Ryan Hansen. It was exciting to see him play kind of a schlubby fat ass.
Yes.
I don't think I've ever seen him do that, actually.
No, and he was surprisingly, I mean, Eliza is just doing her thing and she is who she is, but he's a good actor, man. And he's really funny. And yeah, it was a different sort of role for him. I quite enjoyed that part of it.
We're going to get a Party Down reunion in our lives, right? At some point,
they're gonna get back together. I don't know who owns that right now, but like, what a better use of however much it costs to get Ricky Martin to sit down with you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Tell me that wouldn't be great for your streaming property.
I think you probably could have funded an entire season of Party Down with what it cost you to get Ricky Martin to sit down with you, is my guess.
It's probably true. And we know that Rob Thomas, creator of Party Down, like,
he's up for it.
Not afraid to go back.
No.
Yeah, not afraid to go back. Party Down is on Hulu.
Interesting.
Yeah,
so I still, but that doesn't mean they own it. You know?
Oh wait,
I mean?
No, that's as a 2014. I take that back. Hold on. God,
I feel like maybe it's on HBO Max. I feel like I've seen it somewhere recently.
I do too, actually.
Can I also say this is not a good use of our time?
Yeah, sorry. Stars and Prime, apparently.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, because I think we don't want to be colored by any potential biases. Speaking of HBO Max, what did you think of Tig Notaro Drawn?
I really liked it. I don't have a ton to say about it because I think it's a funny stand-up comedy bit. I've seen this. I feel like I've seen this sort of thing done before, and I'm trying to remember exactly the show.
Well, here's the thing.
Hey, here's the illustration of the funny bit as it's happening that, add some extra to the funny. Like, I feel like I've seen this gimmick before, but
well, you did.
Yeah.
You've seen this gimmick and not once. You've seen this gimmick dozens of times. It's usually done in a shorter form. Here, one place this gimmick is being used right now is, you know, Mark Spears, right?
Yeah.
He's doing a great series for the Undefeated at ESPN that's just like Spears stories.
I've heard about this. I haven't seen it yet.
There's two of them at least. One is about Jordan and one about James Harden. And he tells a story and it's goofily animated and it's great. I think the maximum length for entertainment purposes for this gimmick is like 9 minutes. I think as soon as you hit double digit minutes, it's diminishing returns. And honestly, I think I probably laughed less at this than I would have if I had gotten to watch Tig. I found myself in multiple moments wondering, like, what does she look like as she's saying? What facial expression did she just make?
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
I agree with you. I think it would have been better if they had cut in and out of the stand-up and the drawing. You know what I mean?
Right. Or even, and maybe this is stupid, but they did like different kinds of animation. If they had just done a little bit more expressive animation of her on stage when they went to her on stage, you know what I mean? Because having like the South Park level Tig gives you nothing when she's – there was so much – cartoon of just her standing on stage doing stand-up.
Yeah.
And that's not funny, or it's not as funny as watching her in real life on stage doing stand-up. Not even close.
Yeah.
So, like, I you're right. It's a well-written thing, and the gimmick, I guess, is clever to a degree, but it's overdone. And so
right.
I think they actually turned a better stand-up special into one that's not quite as good.
It's weird, and you're right. I think it's like maybe it just sort of runs out of steam as a gimmick, but like she's doing that Kool-Aid Man bit, and I at that point you really feel like the animation is adding to it, right? Like
yes.
Just picturing the Kool-Aid Man,
it's funny.
You know, exhausted, sitting there in the fence, like just waiting for somebody to do the thing, so we can
hiding on the other side of the fence. Hilarious.
Like
and that, like you're saying, that sort of thing, it is cool to see the, you know, mocked up version of that in cartoon form, because it's a concept that if you're watching her tell that in a normal stand-up special, you're kind of picturing it, right? But there are other moments of stand-up where it's actually more important to see the expression on the comic's face than it is to picture what they're talking about.
Yeah. I think we are going to have a lot of – I think we're mostly going to see Tig Notaro acting, right? I think her acting career is going to be too lucrative, successful.
Perhaps. I mean, she's great.
Doing a lot of stand-up.
But that's the other thing, man. Like, part of what makes her great are the expressions. Did you watch the little featurette where people were actually drawing her?
No.
I recommend it. Just next time you're – it's like 2 minutes. But next time you're on, her wife, Margaret Cho, and Sharon Stone all just make, you know, 10-minute, if not less, drawings of her on paper.
Yeah, low-key great week for Margaret Cho on the show.
Absolutely. And
she was, I thought, the best part of the other movie.
Well, it was her and Ryan Hansen, right? It was really like Ryan Hansen and Margaret Cho being good actors playing off of – the comedian Eliza Schlesinger were the best parts of the movie. But yeah, it's just Tig like standing over their shoulders while they draw her and saying funny stuff. And it is nearly as many laughs in that 3 minutes as in the stand-up special. I like watching her. So yeah, her acting career is going to be great, but I'll tell you, she's really good at stand-up too. And she's a really good writer. As much as I would have preferred a slightly different approach to this, like, the content is high-level, really cleverly written, really funny stand-up comedy, and I dig it.
Yeah. Shout-out to HBO Featurettes. Almost always worth watching, actually.
Totally.
You know? Yeah, I messed up them.
I've started watching them consistently because they rarely disappoint.
It's true. Even, like, have you been – I don't know if you've been watching The White Lotus on HBO Max, but there's a featurette after every episode.
I'm one episode behind, but yeah, it's fun stuff.
They're always good. You know, like, I don't know how they made, like, you know, eight of them and found something interesting to do in all eight, but I'm here
for
it.
Yeah, it's good.
All right. So that brings us to Dr. Death. I would love to hear your take on Dr. Death.
I had to try really hard. I had to use my willpower not to turn this off in the first 10 minutes.
Because you were kind of coming into this thinking like, this is going to be too gloomy, right?
Yes, but I have to say I ended up watching all three free episodes because this is an oddly compelling show. And I think it's mostly about the performances. Not just the lead dudes, all of whom are excellent. I mean, Christian Slater is Christian Slatering so hard, but he's a doctor. It's beautiful.
Yeah. He's like young Christian Slatering.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
He's like Heathersing.
Like, and yeah.
It's incredible. And I mean it sincerely. I'm not being sarcastic in the slightest. The guy is knocking it out of the park, I think. He's totally convincing as a surgeon, but also – he's Christian Slatering super hard. It's just I missed it. I missed Christian Slater. And Alec Baldwin is like a perfectly aloof but concerned, you know, head of surgery doctor guy.
And yeah, it's one of those restrained Baldwin performances. Yes. You know what I mean?
It's incredible because if he was going full Baldwin next to Christian Slater, there's no way it would work, right?
Yes, exactly.
So he's great. And honestly, Joshua Jackson is compelling, man. The fat suit's a little rough, but he is compelling. And I find this show difficult to turn off.
Yeah, I'm glad you landed there. You know, I pay for Peacock, so all the episodes are available to me, and I found myself devouring this. I haven't quite finished it, but I think I plowed through 5 or 6 because it was one that, like, it, you know, I mean, look, it's a little grim. Like, it's definitely some dark subject matter.
Oh, it's grim. But they have done, and I don't know anything about the story. Do you, independently?
No.
Okay.
No,
not. So they have found a way to make this incredibly grim, dark story deeply interesting. And also, I don't know about you, but I am, like, really, again, compelled is the best word I can use. I am very compelled by the question of what is driving this man and what is going on here, right?
Yes. What is, and how is he, you know, like, I mean, there's obviously they get pretty into how is he getting away with it? You know what, yes, I mean? But, like, it's like he found this sort of line to exist where he, you know, possibly, because it's not even really unclear or not even really clear if he is psychotically inflicting this damage on people or if he is just so, like, surgeon god complex,
right? And he's just a jackass, right?
Right.
And that is, like, you can see that is as weird as it sounds, right? I mean, at the end of the day, the important thing is, like, people's lives are being ruined and it needs to stop. But medically and professionally and for the board, like, his motivations and what he's doing philosophically is an important question.
Yeah, for the board and for the government eventually.
Yes,
right?
And that's it's a really difficult question to answer. So, I have told several people that this is a surprisingly compelling show.
Yeah, I think it's really great. I recommend it highly. It's one of those things too where I was like, oh, okay, I see what you're doing with the, you know, we're going to tell the story, like, kind of out of time. But then you find that that's a really effective device. The score is, it's a little heavy handed, but man, it's really effective. Like, there's this ongoing just sort of sense of dread about this guy. You know what I mean?
Like, this show is a bunch of things that if I give you the elevator pitch, sounds like they wouldn't work. But they totally do, right? It's an omnipresent and oppressive soundtrack. It is a Joshua Jackson playing ages 21 to 45, sometimes in a fat suit. It is Christian Slater and Alec Baldwin as a crime-fighting surgeon duo. Like, all of that sounds absurd, and yet it's totally believable and incredibly interesting.
Yeah, it's really engrossing. I don't know.
That's another good word, engrossing.
Yeah, I don't think it is. I was wondering if there was, you know, the Mr. Robot team was involved in this at all, because you got Slater and you got a Gummer. Huh. And
oh, yeah, there's a Gummer, too. Yeah.
It had some of that same tone, but I don't think it is. And that's also a, you know, Universal Peacock property, but no, I don't think it is, but it does have a little bit of that vibe, especially with the score and sort of that omnipresent feel of just dread that kind of hovers over things. It's also shot pretty darkly, I feel like. Yes. Even though they're in Texas, you know, so they're all living in sunshine, but it also sort of, it just feels dark. You have a lot of empty offices and stuff, and with no lights on. And yeah, I don't know. It's a really interesting world to spend time in. I kind of can't wait to finish it. Recommend it highly.
Same, and I never thought I would say that.
Yeah, no, me neither. I'm really glad. I'm glad you ended up in that place, because I know that you were sort of dreading it coming in, and I don't even know. Like, I just had heard it was good. That's kind of all I knew. And like you, it seemed potentially depressing, and I just found myself hooked.
Yeah. So absolutely, thumbs up,
Dr. Death. Thought that based on a podcast, apparently.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Maybe I wound up checking that out. Apparently, they've moved on to the new Dr. Deaths on that podcast as well.
Interesting. So that's scary.
yeah, I know. I hate to think that there's more of these people running around. That's the other thing too. Is like just the case of it is so it's so compelling. Like yes. How it's not just this guy is like hurting patients. Like he's like an insanely bad doctor, right?
Right. So it's, and it's it well, and you know, hovering over anyone who watches this show is the implication that if this guy exists, then other guys like this exist.
Yeah, you know. For sure. And you'd never know, right? Because they all trust him, and it's not insane. Like when the patients do trust him, you're like sitting there going, "Oh, don't do it," but you get why they do. Super credentialed. You know what I mean?
Like I just had a procedure done on my nasal passages last week, and watching the show, I found myself thinking, "What do I really know about the surgeon who stuck metal implements into my face?"
Yeah.
And the answer is almost nothing. It's crazy. Yeah. It's crazy to think about. Anyway, good show.
It is crazy. Joshua Jackson, man, like really having, you know,
hell of a career.
An interesting career for sure.
Good for him.
Yeah. I like it. All right, I think that's it for this week, right?
Yeah, I think we got through it. Look at us.
We did it.
Any big sports thoughts you wanted to share on the way out here?
Do I have any big sports thoughts that there's a lot of sort of things hovering, I have a lot of Warriors thoughts. Like, I don't really understand. We talked about what they might do in the draft, and I don't understand the way that they worked all this out. I just don't.
I'd like to have a longer off-air conversation with you about that to get you get more thoughts. I don't think we need to go too deep into it. Here's what I would like to say. Go Bulls.
Yeah, Bulls out there doing stuff.
Let's go.
Bulls out there doing stuff. I feel like the White Sox are kind of out there doing stuff. It's a good time in Kolsky land.
Hey, my teams are back. We're back.
I don't, you know, hey, maybe Justin Fields will turn out to be the real thing. And you
come on, don't tease me. Do not tease me.
All right, I'm going to leave it at that. I think we can. I have some off-air sports things that we'll ask you about, but we won't bore the people with.
I can't wait. All right, next week it's the challenge.
Yeah, man, the challenge, and then some other stuff. Happy. I know. I'm really happy it's back. It's going to be an interesting format. There are a lot of new people in this season, so I think we're definitely going to have to break down what is the deal with all these rookies.
Well. Yeah, I mean, I think, and I don't know how much time we'll want to spend on this conversation next week, but at some point, given the sort of new style of MTV that I guess we kind of mentioned earlier, where are these people coming from is going to be the question, and then how do they beef up the roster? And one way is by having one season where you bring in a whole bunch of rookies and see who sticks.
Yeah, well, and they definitely went the international route in terms of where they're looking for people, right? Which they've been doing. That's not a new trend, I would say.
No, and I think that's good. You know, mix it up.
Yeah, hey, look, if it brings us one or two more Kyles, then it was all worth it.
That's absolutely the thought that went through both of our minds at that moment. Same page, dude, same page.
So, yeah, sorry, it's a challenge next week. Here's the rest of your homework. We are going to cover F-Boy Island, which is on HBO Max.
Yeah, baby.
Nikki Glaser did it. Honestly, it's almost the title alone, really.
I will say nothing about this, but I have started it.
Okay, good. So you've been watching, you know, the title pretty much explains it, I think.
So. Although there is stuff that will happen in the first couple episodes that even from the title will make you say wow.
Okay. I'm hoping to say wow. The Suicide Squad movie dropping on HBO Max. That is on Friday, I believe, right?
Yeah, and you know, getting rave reviews, and I'm a James Gunn guy, so I'm excited about this. The cast is star-studded. I love Margot Robbie's Harley Quinn, and I'm excited to see like Idris and the other new people in the DC universe.
Did you watch the first one?
I did. It was a while ago. I didn't hate it as much as everybody else.
Gotcha. We watched the Margot the Harley Quinn movie, right, for this show.
Yeah, and I liked that one a lot.
And I did not.
Yeah.
But I do. I am with you on the James Gunn part of this. Seems interesting. So I'm going to give it a run.
All right.
Sorry. So we're going to watch that, and then we decide we're doing Mr. Corman. Is that correct on Apple?
Yeah. Okay. I just don't know how much time we've got, but we'll try. Like, I think we'll probably watch it and then maybe not actually talk about it because we spend too long talking about the challenge.
That's quite possible. We'll thumbs up, thumbs down up. But you might want to check that one out if you want to be ready for next week's show.
All right. Sounds great.
All right. Let's get the hell out of here.
Bye.
This game's in the Admiral refrigerator. The door is closed. The light's out. Butter's getting hard, the eggs are cooling, and the Jell-O is jiggling.
So long, everybody.
And do me a favor, have yourself a tremendous evening.